I would like you to take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. The title of my message this morning in a Christmas theme is The Sunrise We All Need. And notice sunrise is spelt with an O this time instead of a U. You know, if we didn't have the sun come up every day, we wouldn't have a day. But you know something? If we didn't have the Son of God in our lives, we wouldn't have eternal life. And so this morning, we're going to kind of look at what Zacharias the priest said at the end of the chapter where his son John the Baptist was born. So let's go to Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day. We ask that you just be with us today. Help us, Lord, to have the sunrise in our hearts. Lord, I just ask that you just help us, Lord, to reflect on what you did and why we celebrate Christmas. Help us to rest in you. We thank you and we ask these things in your son's name. Amen. In Luke's account, we see that Gabriel, the messenger of God, comes with two important messages. The first one he does is he comes to a man by the name of Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth, who were up in their age and they were barren, but they were faithful to God. And God was going to use them to bring John the Baptist into the world. So to Gabriel, he was going to Zacharias to announce that he would be a father. Zacharias didn't believe him. So Zacharias was struck dumb for 9 months. So you're not going to talk until what God's promised comes true. Folks, we need to understand that when God says something, it doesn't matter how fantastic it is, God's going to bring it to pass. We need to have faith. The second time that Gabriel came, he came to Elizabeth's cousin, which was Mary, and said, you are going to bring forth a child, and you're going to name his name Emmanuel, or God with us, or Jesus. And so Gabriel's busy in this chapter. He's busy telling Zacharias, you're going to have a kid. He's busy telling Mary, you're going to have a child. And so he announces these two births. If you go on further in Luke chapter 1, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, Mary comes to visit because she is now showing. And because she wasn't married to Joseph, there was some talk about that. She hid herself. And so she comes to Elizabeth, and when Mary walks through the door, and John the Baptist hears Mary's voice in the womb, don't you think that the unborn aren't people?
Right.
This is a great proof of why abortion is murder. Because John the Baptist, not born, leaped in Elizabeth's womb at the sound of Mary's voice. And all those who've had kids understand that they respond to voices, they respond to touch. And so Mary and Elizabeth, they stay together for those 3 months of waiting. And then John the Baptist is born. John is born, and the moment that he's born, they say, well, we're going to name you Zacharias after you. No, you need a name after God. God said his name would be John. And as soon as he fulfilled that naming, his tongue was loosed. And you know something? When God opens our tongue, what should we do? We should prophesy. We should tell the truth of God. And so basically he comes and he says, this is the one. This is the one that's prophesied in Isaiah chapter 40 that's going to prepare the way of the Lord. So John the Baptist is to prepare the way for Jesus, and then Jesus is going to be called the dayspring from on high. So this brings us up to the prophecy of Zacharias, and now we will start in verse 67. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn for salvation for us in the house of his servant David. as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Folks, that's what God expects us to do. We're supposed to serve him in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. And now he talks to his newborn child. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. And we know in John's ministry, he says, I am not he, but there's one that comes after me whose shoe laces I'm not even worthy to touch or to unlatch. Verse 78, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet to the way of peace. See, we see three things in verses 78 and 79 which talk about Christ. The first thing is that he's going to give light to them that sit in darkness. See, the word dayspring here is a poetic name for the dawn over the sunrise. The psalmist says, weeping lasts for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Folks, if you have Jesus Christ in your heart, you have joy. If you have Jesus Christ in your heart, you have peace. If you have Jesus Christ in your heart, you have truth. Christ came to dispel the darkness of this world. See, God always brings light out of darkness. He did it in creation. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. Okay, but this is the way it was in the beginning. And what was? It was dark. Okay? And in verse 2, in verse 3, it says, and God said, let there be light. There was a void, and there was darkness over the face of the deep. And it said, God said, let there be light, and there was what? Light. See, when God says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. And God wants light. God wants light for us to see. God wants light in our lives. So God always brings light out of darkness. He did it in creation. He did it in his birth. One of the prophecies that of Christ is found in Isaiah chapter 9. And in verse 2, we always are very familiar with verse 6. But in verse 2 it says, the people that walked in what? Darkness has seen a great light. This is talking about what Christ is going to do. He's going to bring the light of God in himself to his people. John writes, he says, and the light came in the world, but the darkness what? Received it not. And it says, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shine. Sound familiar? Sound like what Zacharias said about Christ in our passage here? Talk about the shadow of death. See, God brings all light out of darkness. He does it in creation. He does it in his birth. Remember, the shepherds are on the side of the mountain. And what happens? The angels come and there's a great what? Light. What guided the wise men to Christ in Bethlehem? The light of a star. See, God always brings light out of darkness, and he does it in salvation. In Psalm chapter 8, verse 12, it says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. You know, there's people trying to find answers. There's people trying to find peace. There's people trying to find joy, and they're doing everything looking in the wrong spot. All we need to understand is what God said about himself. He says, I am the light of the world. He that what? Followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. See, there's some conditions that we need to understand. First of all, we need to recognize the light. It's very easy in a dark room to see a light. And we should be able to see the light in this dark world. We know that God is still sovereign, that he's got everything in control. The second thing is once you see the light, you need to follow it. And it says, he that followeth me, and here's the promises. If you're following God, you always wonder if you're ever doing the right thing. I guarantee you, if you're following God, you'll always do the right thing. You'll be in the right place. You'll be at the right time. You'll be doing the right things with the right people. He said, he that followeth me shall not walk in what? Darkness, but shall have the light of life. And what we need today in this dark world is people walking in the light. People showing the light that they want to come and see Jesus too. So God brings light out of darkness in creation. God brings light out of darkness in his birth. God brings light out of darkness in salvation. And then he also brings light out of darkness in walking with God. In 1 John chapter 1 verse 7 it says, but if we what? Walk in the light. So here's the thing. We need to follow him, and then we have the light. And then we need to continue to follow him and walk in the light. It says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light. You know what that really means? That means we should do the things that Christ does. We should honor God the Father. We should do the Father's will. We should listen to the Holy Spirit. We should do all those things. We have fellowship one with another. You know, last week we talked about basically how you miss opportunities. And you miss opportunities by living a carnal life. You miss opportunities by living a complacent life. You miss opportunities by living a constrained life that you say, God can't work in my life. You miss opportunities by living a conflicted life or bringing conflict to this. See, the issue is that we have fellowship one with another. And if we're all walking in the light, we can do great things. And it says, in the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son cleanses us from what? All sin. So the first thing that we see in Zechariah's prophecy about Christ, what he's going to do here, is that Christ gives light to those in darkness. See, Jesus came to bring light into our lives. If you go up a couple of verses in 1 John chapter 1 and verses 5 and 6, it says, this is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. God does not sin, neither does he tempt anyone else to sin. It says, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You know what a great thing to do in this Christmas season is to say, God, I just thank you for your gift of salvation. I thank you for the gift of your Son. And help me to walk from this day forward in the light of your Word, in the light of your truth, in the light of your Spirit. See, Christ gives light to those in darkness. Secondly, Christ gives light to those in the shadow of death. We have a psalm, Psalm 23. I used it Thursday in a funeral. It was a warrior that was talking about that. David says, yo, lo, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will what? Fear no evil, for thou art with me. See, we all live in the shadow of death. I mean, you turn on the TV even last night. Said, if you don't do this, you're going to die. Folks, I want to tell you something else. If you don't do this, you're going to die the second death. Mm-hmm. And it's not worried about what can get in us physically. We need to understand this from a spiritual, eternal viewpoint. See, we all live in the shadow of death. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it says that as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Death is coming, and the judgment that follows is coming. It is as true as God's word is. See, we need to understand that we are one heartbeat from eternity. In our political system, we heard, or the last president, he's just one heartbeat. And now the current administration, that this person is just one heartbeat from the presidency, or this person is one heartbeat from this. Folks, we're taking our minds off the wrong, off the right thing. We need to understand that we're one heartbeat from eternity right now. We're not even guaranteed to get to the end of the service. And see, to some, eternity is a dark unknown. Well, I'll just worry about that when I know it's coming. It's coming, folks. Oh, I'll worry about it on my deathbed. You don't know when that happens. You don't know whether it happens. There was a 17th century philosopher. He's a political philosopher. His name was Thomas Hobbes. He's actually credited to be the father of modern political science thought and the social contract theory that everybody just kind of gets together and reasons things out and how you govern. And then he also said, later on, and he was criticized heavily for this, he said that people need to follow a leader and let government tell them what to do. Boy, isn't that true today? That's where we are today. This guy lived in the 17th century, in the 1600s. That's where it all started from. Some claim that he was an atheist. He had very conflicted views on God. But as he was approaching his death, and he knew in his last breath he was going into eternity, he said this. He says, "Now I am about to take my last voyage, a great leap in the dark." Folks, if you're taking a great leap in the dark in eternity, you're not going to God.
Right. That's true.
And it doesn't matter how hard you think or what you think or whatever the case may be. The issue is we need to go to the light. Christ is the light. We need to be prepared for that because we're one heartbeat away from eternity. See, we all live in the shadow of death. See, the death and resurrection of Christ changed this. See, the open tomb removed darkness from death. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says that death is swallowed up in victory. And also, the sun shining into that tomb that morning, Easter 2,000 years ago, lighted death for us all. We always see the pictures of Easter of the tomb and it being open and the light shining through. Folks, what we need to understand is that the death and resurrection of Christ changed this. In John chapter 5, verse 24, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath" what? "Everlasting life." Why do you keep on preaching about this? Because there's no other decision more important than eternity. There's no other decision more important than salvation and accepting Christ. "And he that believeth on him that and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is" what? "Passed from death unto life." What does that mean? That means that the world is in darkness today and through Christ they come to light. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 14, it says, "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death."
That's right.
You know, we talk about, you know, loving brother, and there's been songs sung over the ages and, you know, being socially conscious and everything else. Love God first. Find him as your Savior. Because love is of God. Because he first loved us, not that we first loved him. And if you don't have the love of God, 1 John John writes, he says, "You, if you don't have the love of God, you can't love your brother like you should. You can't do the things that you should." Christ himself said this, "Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love thy neighbor as thyself." We've been going through the Ten Commandments for the kids. The issue is the first four is taken care of if you love God. The last six are taken care of if you've loved your neighbor. And if you do that, then you don't have to worry about fulfilling the law, because you will. Because it'll just be a natural circumstance of walking in the light. See, Jesus overcame death at every meeting when he met the death. When he met death, he raised the daughter of Jairus. People laughed him to scorn when he said, "She sleeps." They said, "No, she's dead." But Christ said, "Maiden, arise," and she arose.
Amen.
He overcame death with the son of the widow from Nain and brought him back to life. Just touched him and brought him back to life. He brought his friend Lazarus back to life. You know why? Because God is life and he is light. And that is in Christ only. The third thing is, Christ gives light to those who need direction. Oh, don't we need direction today?
Yes, we do.
Don't we need direction today? And verse 79 says this, is to guide our feet into the way of peace. See, walking through this dark world, we need a guide. You can't do it on your own. You can't navigate all the problems out here without having a guide. And Jesus is that guide. He lights the way for our feet. He guides our feet into the way of peace. In Psalm 119, it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet." Boy, you go out in the forest in the dark and you don't have a light, you bump into things. And you fall off cliffs. I did that. And the issue is that you need a light in the darkness to be your guide. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, Christ is looking on the crowd. Christ is the good shepherd. He's the keeper of the sheep. And people who follow him are their sheep. And you know that sheep will follow the shepherd, right?
Yes.
But if the sheep don't have any shepherd, they just kind of wander around and everybody comes in, all the animals come in, it's a haul, tasty meal, and eat the sheep. But here's what Christ saw in his earthly ministry. He came to be the light of the world, and the world comprehended it not. In verse 36, it says, "But when he saw the multitudes," he was what? "Moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." Today, do you feel that you have no direction? Do you feel that you have no purpose? Do you feel that you have no plan in your life? Do you see, is this all there is? I'm constantly having to do this. I'm constantly having to do this because people tell me, is there something more than this? Yes, there is. His name is Jesus.
Amen.
See, Christ gives light to those who need direction, because we need a guide in this dark world. But see, that's the first part. Where will Christ take us? He will take us to the way of peace. You know, peace is such a good word. And I want to share four things with you real quick about God's peace and where it is in the Christmas setting. Peace was announced at his birth. Those shepherds giving guidance to their sheep in the middle of the night. There was a what? A great light that shone upon them. And they were what? Sore afraid. And then they heard this. The angels proclaiming glory to God in the highest. And on what? Earth, peace, goodwill toward men. You know what you need this morning? You need God's peace and goodwill. You know what our church needs this morning? God's peace and goodwill. You know what our city needs this morning? God's peace and goodwill. You know what this world needs today? God's peace and goodwill. If we had goodwill for another, we wouldn't have all this contention that we have right now.
Amen.
If we had peace right now, we wouldn't have this trouble that we're in right now.
Amen.
So peace is such a good word. It was announced at his birth. It was achieved with his death. It was achieved with his death. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 20, the first part of this verse says, and having made what? Peace. Peace from mankind to God through Christ on the cross and his shed blood. It says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in heaven, in earth, or things in heaven. See, Christ's sacrifice on the cross. The whole reason he was born on Christmas Day was to go to the cross to bring peace for us with God. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have peace with God this morning? It can only be achieved through a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you died right now, would Jesus go off into the darkness? Christ describes hell as being a dark place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. He also describes heaven as being a place of light, a perpetual light. Are you going to go off into the darkness, or do you want to go off into the light? See, peace was achieved with his death. But my question is this, is peace more than just a word to you? There are so many of us that just use words as a punchline. We use words and they don't define anything. We're just using them. We're just using them. In Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 10, it was the problem of the people living in darkness. They were living without God. They were not following God. God's own people, called out by him. And the prophet Ezekiel talks to them and says this, because they have seduced my people, saying what? Peace, peace, when there is no peace. And one built up a wall, and lo, another dabbed it with untempered mortar. Talking about they were going their own way. You can't build a wall without the proper foundation. The foundation is Christ. You can't build a wall without having all the things put together with a proper mortar. And that's being led by the Spirit. You can't have peace any other way unless you have a relationship with Christ. See, Jesus wants to give you lasting peace. Jesus wants to give you lasting peace. In John chapter 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. See, when Gabriel came to Elizabeth and Gabriel came to Mary and the angels came, what did they say? Fear not. Fear not. Don't be afraid. See, if I know God and I have Christ in my heart, I don't have to fear anything because I got my eternity set.
Amen.
If I have Christ in my heart, I can walk in the light. If I have Christ in my heart, then basically the birth of Christ means a whole lot more to me than what it does to the world. No, is Jesus just a reason for the season? Is it a reason to just go out and spend a whole bunch of money and go in, that you don't have and get into worse debt? Christ doesn't want you to be in debt.
Right.
He wants you to be free. Whom the Son has set free, he is what? Free indeed. You know, is Christmas just another religious holiday that you go and you do your own thing and watch football games? See, What does the birth of Christ mean to you? See, Christ wants to bring us into light and life. Light for your darkness. Light when death's shadow falls across the way. You know, we lost a church member this week. Friday morning, Dwayne Shaw passed away. But I know where he is right now.
Amen.
I sat in the room when he accepted Christ as a Savior. And I know where he is right now. See, we never know when death is going to call on us. Light to guide you from earth to heaven. See, we need God to light. So what does the birth of Christ mean to you? What is this week? And we're not going to get into the theological thing of, well, he wasn't born on December 20th. You know something? That doesn't matter. The fact is that Christ was born. The fact is that he was born of a virgin. The fact is that he lived a perfect life. The fact is he showed he was the power of God. The fact is that he went to the cross. The fact is he died on the cross as a substitute for man's sin. As we do know that he was buried. We do know that he rose again. We do know that he ascended. And we do know that he is the Word of God. In John chapter 1, verse 4, and I'll close with this. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Let Christ this week, let Christ your life light up your life. Let's follow him with all of our heart. If you don't know him as your Savior, today is the perfect opportunity. What a great present than to get the greatest gift of all, salvation. And if you are saved, what a great present to give back to God than your life as a living sacrifice and walk it in life for him. Let's receive him and let's give to him. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask you this time of invitation. Father, just search our hearts and just follow and help us to follow you. Father, someone here does not know you as Savior. Lord, I just pray that they would understand that you died on the cross for our sins, you were buried, and you rose again the third day to forgive their sins and to give the gift of eternal life. Lord, for us, help us, Lord, to live in the light and to walk in the light and to be the light in a dark world. We thank you and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.